أعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، and to continue with the book of creed and belief, لمعة الاعتقاد of the Imam Ibn Qudama al-Maqdisi rahimahullah, with the explanation of Shaykh Salih Ibn Fawzan al-Fawzan hafidhahullah. This great book of Aqidah, creed and belief, which we have covered just a few pages from the beginning. And if we remember, the book begins with the most important aspects of creed and belief. Creed and belief with regard to the names and attributes of Allah the Most High. And at the beginning of the book, the author brings a number of important principles with regard to what the Salaf, the pious predecessors, the first and foremost ones of this Ummah, were upon in that regard. What they were upon with regard to creed and belief, with regard to their Lord, and with regard to his names and attributes. So he brought some principles in that regard, and then the author quoted a number of sayings from the Imams, the early Imams of this Ummah, and from some of the Salaf. So he quoted in that regard a saying from Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, and a saying from Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. Likewise, he quoted a saying from the noble companion Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. That was the last thing that we had. And then the author continues with some sayings from the early Imams in this regard. With regard to principles concerning Aqidah, and more specifically with regard to Allah's names, the important affair of Allah's names and attributes. So he continues and brings a quote. He said, the author, Imam Ibn Qudama al-Maqdisi rahimahullah, he continued, وَقَالَ عُمَرْ إِبْنُ عَبْدِ الْعَزِيزِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ كَلَامًا مَعْنَاهُ قِفْ حَيْثُ وَقَفَ الْقَوْمُ فَإِنَّهُمْ عَنْ عِلْمٍ وَقَفُوا وَبِبَصَرٍ نَافِذٍ كَفُوا وَلَهُمْ عَلَى كَشْفِهَا كانوا أقوى وبالفضل لو كان فيها أحرى فلئن قلتم حدث بعدهم فما أحدثوا إلا من خالف هديهم ورغب عن سنتهم لقد وصفوا منه ما يشفي وتكلموا منه بما يكفي فما فوقهم محسر وما دونهم مقصر فقد قصر عنهم قوم فجفوا وتجاوزهم آخرون فغلوا وإنهم فيما بين ذلك لعلى هدى مستقيم. He said, and Umar ibn Abdulaziz radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, said some speech with the meaning. Stop. And it's beginning on page 64 of the version that most of us have got. That he said some speech with the meaning, stop, where the people stopped, because they stopped based upon knowledge, and they withheld upon the clear insight of knowledge. And they were stronger in ability to uncover meanings, and they were more careful upon attaining virtue, if it were to be found. And if you say, but things were merely brought about after them, then it was only something introduced by those who opposed their way and who turned away from their path. They have described from it that which fully satisfies, and they spoke about it with that which suffices. So whatever exceeds them is excessiveness, and whatever falls below them is falling short. A people fell short of them, and so fell into neglect, and others exceeded them, and so went beyond the limits. Rather, they were between that, upon straight and true guidance. And with regard to the explanation of Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, and he explains the same word by word or line by line, and so he says, with regard to the phrase, وَقَالَ Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiallahu anhu, and Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiallahu anhu said, and Sheikh Fawzan said, he was Umar, the son of Abdul Aziz, the son of Marwan. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz ibn Marwan. He was from the Khulafa, he was from the Khalifas of Banu Umayyah. He was a just Khalifa and a great Imam and a scholar who led the people upon correctness. Rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy upon him. Amen. He is counted as one of the heads of the Mujaddideen. He's counted as one of the heads of the Mujaddids, the revivers for this Ummah. Mujaddideen, those whom Allah has provided at the head of each century as a reviver for the affairs of this religion. So he, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, the famous Khalifa, Sheikh Fawzan said, he is counted as one of the heads of the revivers for this religion. And as a side point, many of the scholars who have written in this regard, with regard to who was the reviver for this century, who was the reviver for this century, then they all mention that the first revival for this Ummah at the head of the first 100 years was this famous Khalifa, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. Then back to Sheikh Fawzan's explanation, he said, he became the Khalifa after his paternal uncle, Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik. And again, as a further side point here, then Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar said, in his book Taqrib al-Tahdhib, and it is of course a very brief biography of this Khalifa, he said, he was Umar ibn Abdul Aziz ibn Marwan ibn al-Hakam ibn Abdul As al-Amawi, Amir al-Mu'mineen, the chief of the believers, in the Khalifa. His mother was Asim, the daughter of Asim, the son of Umar ibn al-Khattab. So Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, his mother was the granddaughter of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu. Then he continues in his biography, he became the governor of Medina for Al-Walid, and along with Sulaiman, he was like a chief minister. When his uncle Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik was the Khalifa, Umar was like his chief minister along with him. And he became the Khalifa after him. So he is counted along with the rightly guided Khulafa. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz is counted along, not counted amongst them as being one of them, counted along with them. He said he was from the fourth level, meaning he's from the level of the lesser tabi'een, meaning in age. He died in the month of Rajab in the year 101, at the age of 40. And he was Khalifa for 2.5 years. And just to continue with the explanation of Shaykh al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, he continues with the next phrase, that Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiallahu anhu said some speech with the meaning, قِفْ حَيْثُ وَقَفَ الْقَوْمِ, stop where the people stopped. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this is just like the speech of Ibn Mas'ud. In the previous quote that we had just before, where Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, اتَّبِعُوا وَلَا تَبْتَلِعُوا فَقَدْ كُفِيتُمْ, follow and do not innovate, for you have been sufficed. So Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this quote here from Umar ibn Abdul Aziz is just like it. That he said, قِفْ حَيْثُ وَقَفَ الْقَوْمِ, stop where the people stopped. He said, so if there is something which was not said by the companions of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and not said by their students from the Tabi'een and by the followers of the Tabi'een, then it is not permissible for you to introduce it and to speak with it. A saying which is not found from the companions, not found from the Tabi'een, not found from the Atba'at Tabi'een, then it's not permissible for you to introduce it and to speak with it. فَإِنَّهُمْ عَنْ عِلْمٍ وَقَفُوا, because they stopped based upon knowledge. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, not because of ignorance. I mean, when they stopped, when the Salaf stopped about something, they didn't stop because they were ignorant of it, they didn't have the knowledge to continue and say something more. He said, rather, they did not stop because of ignorance. Rather, they saw and held that it is not permissible to enter into it. And that is why they would stop with regard to something, not because of lack of knowledge. وَبِبَصَرٍ نَافِذٍ كَفُّوا, and they withheld upon the clear insight of knowledge. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, بِبَصَرٍ, literally they stopped with clear sightedness. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and what is meant by al-basr here, sightedness, clear sightedness, means the sight of the heart, and it is knowledge, al-ilm. The sight of the heart, which is ilm, knowledge. And what is meant is al-basira, insight. So they saw and held that this thing that they stopped from and they withheld concerning, they saw that there was no good in it, so they left it. And whatever they stopped about, wherever they stopped about an affair, it was because of this. They saw that there was no good in it, so they left it. So what is upon you is that you should leave whatever they left, and that you do not introduce phrases from yourself, or wordings from yourself, or an understanding from yourself. Do not newly bring about something which they did not say. Then the quote continues, وَلَهُمْ عَلَىٰ كَشْفِهَا كَانُوا أَقْوَىٰ, and they were stronger in ability to uncover meanings. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning they had full ability in matters of knowledge. in case someone comes and thinks, well, the Salaf, they kept quiet because they didn't have the ability to speak about these matters, or they didn't have the ability to use their intellect or the like. So Shaykh Fawzan said, rather, this phrase means, they had full ability in matters of knowledge. However, the fact that they stopped is because they saw that there was no good in this thing, and that it was not permissible to enter into it. So you should stop along with them. And again, just as a reminder, this primarily talking with regard to the affair of Aqidah, and specifically the affair of Allah's names and attributes. And the quote continues, وَبِالْفَضْلِ لَوْ كَانَ فِيهَا أَحْرَاءَ. And they were more careful upon attaining virtue if it were to be found. Shaykh Fawzan said, if these things which they remained silent about contained any virtue, anything excellent, then they would have been more eager and careful upon acquiring that virtue, and they would have entered into them. So this proves that entering into them is not from virtue. Rather, it is just ignorance and misguidance. Then the quote continues, فَلَئِنْ قُلْتُمْ حَدَثَ بَعْدَهُمْ فَمَا أَحْدَثَهُ إِلَّا مَنْ خَالَفَ هَدْيَهُمْ وَرَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِهِمْ. He continued, and if you say that things were newly brought about after them, then it was only something introduced by those who opposed their way and who turned away from their path. Shaykh Fawzan said, this is a response to an objection which may be raised to his speech, rahimahullah, in the speech of Umar ibn Abdulaziz. Somebody may raise this objection, but later on people brought about new things. So why can't we? In other words, so why can't we do so? Shaykh Fawzan said, which is that if you say things were newly brought about after them, so therefore we can introduce wordings, and we can introduce phrases which they did not say, because these new affairs did not exist in their time. Then we say, and the response to this is, we say, there is no salvation except through following them. So if you want to rebut these newly invented affairs, then rebut them with the fact that whatever was newly introduced after them, then there is no good in it. There is no good in it. Then the quote continues, لَقَدْ وَصَفُوا مِنْهُ مَا يَشْفِي وَتَكَلَّمُوا مِنْهُ بِمَا يَكْفِي. He said, they have described from it, from the affairs of the religion, they have described from it that which fully satisfies. And they spoke about it with that which suffices. Shaykh Fawzan said, they did not fall short, rahimahumullah, may Allah have mercy upon them, ameen. All this, of course, referring to the Salaf, the first three most excellent generations, companions, Tabi'in, Atba'u Tabi'in. He said, they did not fall short, may Allah have mercy upon them, in the affairs of their religion, and especially in the affairs of al-aqidah, creed and belief, of al-asma wa sifat, of names and attributes. They did not fall short in this, and they were not negligent and idle. Rather, they explained and made clear, and they kept silent about some things which it is not permissible to delve into. So you should speak with their speech, and you should convey their speech, and do not alter it. And whatever they remain silent about, then you remain silent about it. Do not enter into it. And if something presents itself to you, and you do not find any speech about it from the Salaf, then know that they kept silent about it and stopped regarding it. So you should stop and withhold, and do not enter into it. Then the quote continues, فَمَا فَوْقَهُمْ مُحَسِّرٌ وَمَا دُونَهُمْ مُقَصِّرٌ. So whatever exceeds, whatever goes beyond them, is excessiveness. And whatever falls below them is falling short. Shaykh Fawzan said, مَا فَوْقَهُمْ, whatever goes above and beyond them, meaning whatever exceeds them, he said, meaning whatever is additional to their way is muhassirun, meaning that is one who is an extremist, one who goes beyond the set limit. وَمَا دُونَهُمْ مُقَصِّرٌ, and whatever falls below them is falling short. Shaykh Fawzan said, that person is lazy and neglectful, away from following them, and negligent of their knowledge. Then he is neglectful and idle. So those who go against the Salaf are between two affairs, meaning are of two types. Those who go away from the way of the Salaf will be one of two types. Either an extremist or one who falls short. The first is muhassir, the one who goes beyond the limits and goes to extremes. Or the other way around, he said it. The first one is one who goes to extremes and goes beyond the limit. And the one who falls below them, then he is falling short. He has not joined up with them. And both of these affairs are blameworthy. So safety and security lies in proceeding along with them, not proceeding ahead of them, and not falling behind them. Proceeding along with them, upon their manhaj, upon their methodology. Then the quote continues, لَقَدْ قَصَّرَ عَنْهُمْ قَوْمٌ فَجَفَوْا. A people fell short of them, and so fell into neglect. Shaykh Fawzan said, this is falling short and idleness. وَتَجَاوَزَهُمْ آخَرُونَ فَغَلَوْا. And other people exceeded them, went beyond them, that not exceeded in a good way, and other people went beyond them, and so went beyond the limits. Sheikh Fawzan said, this is an explanation of the phrase, whatever goes beyond them is exceeding the limits, and whatever falls short of them is negligence. He said, so one who falls short is negligent, and one who goes beyond is going to extremes. Then the quote finishes, وَإِنَّهُمْ فِي مَا بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ لَعَلَى هُدًى مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Rather they, in the Salaf, rather they were between that upon straight and true guidance. Sheikh Fawzan said, meaning in between the one who exceeds and the one who falls short. So the Salaf were between the one who exceeds, the extremist, and between the one who falls beneath the mark, who is the negligent one. And they were upon straight and true guidance. Guidance lying between two forms of misguidance, and upon truth lying between two forms of falsehood. This is the way of the Salaf, rahimahumullah, may Allah have mercy upon them. Lying between the one who goes to extreme and the one who falls beneath the mark. And the religion of Allah lies between the extremist and the one who falls beneath the mark. The religion that is correctly balanced, or the religion of being correctly balanced and uprightness. And it is that which Allah commanded us that we should ask Him for, to guide us to it. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. The ayah from Surah Al-Fatiha. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. With the meaning, guide us to and upon the straight way. Sheikh Fawzan said, meaning the correctly balanced way lying between the extremist and the one who falls beneath the mark. And with regard to this quote from Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah, and just briefly, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he said in his explanation, and from the sayings of the Tabi'een, then Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar ibn Abdul Aziz said, and he was born in the year 63 and died in the year 101 after the Hijrah. He said a statement which comprises the following, and then Shaykh al-Uthaymeen summarizes it in 3 points. Firstly, the obligation of stopping wherever the people stopped. He meant by them, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, in that which they were upon from the religion, in aqidah, creed and belief, and in action. Since they stopped because of knowledge and insight. And if there were any good in what newly came about after them, they would have been careful to acquire it. And the second point is that whatever newly came about after them, then it is just a case of going against their way and of avoiding their path. Because they described, with regard to the religion, that which fully satisfies. And they spoke about it with that which is sufficient, fully sufficient. And the third point he brings is that from the people there are some who have fallen short with regard to following them. So he is a negligent person. And from the people there are those who went beyond what they were upon. So he is an extremist, one going beyond the limits. And the straight path is what lies between al-ghulu wa taqsir. The straight path is what lies between al-ghulu, extremism, and falling short of the mark. Then the author, the Imam Ibn Qudama al-Maqdisi, rahimahullah, he continues and brings another saying. وقال الإمام أبو عمر الأوزاعي رضي الله عنه عليك بآثار من سلف وإن رفضك الناس وإن رفضك الناس وإياك وآراء وإياك وآراء الرجال وإن زخرفوه لك بالقول يرحمك الله. He said, and Imam Abu Amr al-Awza'i, may Allah be pleased with him, said, adhere to the narrations of those who preceded, of the Salaf, even if the people reject you. And beware of the opinions of men, even if they beautify it for you with speech. Shaykh Fawzan said in his explanation with regard to his saying, وقال الإمام أبو عمر الأوزاعي رضي الله عنه, the Imam Abu Amr al-Awza'i, may Allah be pleased with him, said, Shaykh Fawzan said, the Imam Abu Amr Abdul Rahman al-Awza'i, his great Imam al-Awza'i, his name was Abdul Rahman, his kunya was Abu Amr, his name was Abdul Rahman, and he was well known by the title Al-Awza'i. He said he was the Imam of the people of Sham, the area of present-day Syria, Lebanon, Palestine, and Jordan, that area. He was the Imam of the people of Sham. As a side point, they mention that he lived in Damascus, and then he moved to the city of Beirut. Moved to the city of Beirut, which is in present-day Lebanon. And that's where he died, rahimahullah. May Allah have mercy upon him. Amen. With regard to his saying, عَلَيْكَ بِآثَارِ مَنْ سَلَفْ وَإِنْ رَفَضَكَ النَّاسِ, adhere to the narrations of those who preceded, the Salaf, even if the people reject you. Shaykh Fawzan said in explanation, adhere, stick, cling to the narrations of the Salaf, of those who preceded, from the companions and the Tabi'een and the most excellent generations, the first three generations of this Ummah. وَإِنْ رَفَضَكَ النَّاسِ, even if the people reject you. Shaykh Fawzan said, meaning, even if the people criticize you for your following the Salaf, if they criticize you and shun you, then do not turn your attention to them and don't care about their blame, because you will be upon the truth. And as long as you are upon the truth, then all praise is for Allah. You should not want just to please the people and that the people praise you. Rather, what you should want is to acquire the pleasure of Allah, the Perfect and Most High. And you should want the truth. And the truth, there is no doubt that it lies in following the Salaf, the pious predecessors. So if you see someone describing you as being inflexible and describing you as being backward and as being reactionary, old-fashioned, and so on, and wanting to go back to the Middle Ages, and with speech of this type, then do not pay any attention at all to them, because you will be upon the truth, and they will be upon falsehood. So don't let them worry you. Then we go to the last part of the saying, وَإِيَّاكَ وَآرَاءَ الرِّجَالِ وَإِنْ زَخْرَفُوهُ لَكَ بِالْقَوْلِ. And beware of the opinions of men, even if they beautify it for you with speech. Shaykh Fawzan said, this is a warning against your leaving the way of the Salaf, and of your accepting the opinions of men which newly arose after them. The opinions of men which newly arose after the Salaf, after the time of the first three generations. وَإِنْ زَخْرَفُوهُمْ. Even if they beautify it for you. And Shaykh Fawzan explains this word, زَخْرَفُ. He said, الزُخْرَف means adornment or decoration, تَزْيِين, to adorn something, beautify it, make it look nice. And the origin of الزُخْرَف, the origin of this word for adornment, is الذَهَب, gold. الزُخْرَف, in its language origin, it means gold. And he gives an ayah in this regard. وَلَوْلَا أَنْ يَكُونَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً لَجَعَلْنَا لِمَنْ يَكْفُرُ بِالرَّحْمَنِ لِبُيُوتِهِمْ سُقُفًا مِّن فِضَّةٍ وَمَعَارِجَ عَلَيْهَا يَظْهَرُونَ وَلِبُيُوتِهِمْ أَبْوَابًا وَسُرُرًا عَلَيْهَا يَتَّكِئُونَ وَزُخْرُفًا. So it is Zukhruf, the 43rd surah, ayahs 33 to 35. With the explanation, and if it were not for the fact that the people would become a single community of unbelievers, desiring this life alone, if it were not for that, we would have provided for those who disbelieved in the Most Merciful, silver roofs for their houses, and silver stairways for them to ascend upon. And silver locks upon their doors, and silver thrones which they could sit upon. And gold, and zukhruf, gold. And the Salaf explained this word, zukhruf, they mentioned in al-dhahab, meaning gold. Shaykh Fawzan said, so he's explaining here this word zukhruf, what does it mean? This word to adorn speech and the like. In origin it means gold. To adorn something, to beautify it. He said, so they adorn their sayings, they decorate their sayings, until they appear as if they are the truth. And Shaykh Fawzan commented upon what people do, people from these after the time of the Salaf, who come with false sayings. They adorn their sayings and decorate them until they appear as if they are the truth. Just as Allah the Perfect said with regard to the like of them, then he quotes another ayah. وَكَذَٰلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍ عَدُوًا شَيَاطِينَ الْإِنسِ وَالْجِنِّ يُوحِي بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ زُخْرَفَ الْقَوْلِ غُرُورًا وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ مَا فَعَلُوهُ فَذَرْهُمْ وَمَا يَفْتَرُونَ. Surah Al-An'am, the 6th surah, ayah 112. With the explanation, and likewise, we have provided for every prophet enemies, devils of mankind and jinn, inspiring each other with false speech which has been adorned. Zukhruf, false speech which has been adorned in order to outwit the people. And if your Lord had wished, they would not have done it, So leave them and the lies which they fabricate. Sheikh Fawzan commented, so they will come to you with their speech, muzakhrafa, and these people are falsehood, they will come to you with their speech which has been beautified as being intellectual evidences. When these people are falsehood, they come to you, and of course they won't come and say our speech is falsehood. They will beautify it and give fancy titles. He said, they'll come to you with their speech which has been beautified as being intellectual evidences and decisive proofs and such and such and such and such. And they may have fluency and they may have eloquence, be able to say the words very well, with which they captivate the listener. But as long as they are not upon the way of the Salaf, then do not turn any attention to them and don't take any notice of their speech, because it is zukhruf, it is something falsely adorned, falsely beautified. Just repeat that phrase of the Sheikh, and it could be repeated over and over again until we understand it. And the Sheikh said, with regard to these people who come with falsehood, and they may have fluency and eloquence with which they captivate the listener, but as long as they are not upon the way of the Salaf, of the predecessors, then do not turn any attention to them and don't take any notice of their speech, because it is zukhruf, something falsely adorned. And the poet says, as the poet said, fi zukhruf al-qawli tazyinun li-batili qad ya'tarihi su'u ta'abiri. Adorning speech, beautifying some speech, falsely adorning it, decorating the speech, can make that which is false seem beautiful. And it may, I mean speech, may be spoiled by being expressed badly. I mean some false speech, the person comes and beautifies it up, it looks like it's something good. And the opposite, and something may be true, but the person expresses it badly, so it looks bad. Then Sheikh Fawzan said, so adorning, falsely decorating speech causes falsehood to appear as something beautiful to the people. However, the person of insight, he looks at the realities and he doesn't look at the mere outward appearance. So when it is the case that this speech was something not said by a Salaf al-Salih, not said by pious predecessors in this matter, the matter of names and attributes, then know that it is batil, false and futile, even if it is falsely adorned with wordings and fine sounding speech. Do not take any notice of it when it is contrary to the way of the Salaf al-Salih, the pious predecessors. And this applies to Ilm al-Kalam, rhetorical theology, and Ilm al-Mantiq, and it applies to logic, which they have a taste for, and which they adorn falsely, and which they call intellectual proofs and decisive principles to the rest of what they say. Do not turn any attention to it. How can the principles of logic and rhetorical theology, kalam, be equated with the speech of the Lord of the whole of creation and the speech of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the speech of the Salaf al-Salih, of the pious predecessors? How can this be equated with that? And that's where Sheikh Fawzan ends the explanation of this particular quote. Obviously, and these days you find many, many people who come with the like of this. Those who are not going to wear the Salaf, they come with these principles, and logic says this, and logic demands that, and this principle, and kalam, and all this nonsense, with which they oppose the way of the Salaf, oppose the speech of Allah the Most High, and of His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what the Salaf were upon. And with regard to the next and final quote, then we'll leave that till next time, inshallah. And then, after that, the book, you know, the author, Ibn Qudamah, he begins to mention the attributes one by one. Attributes which we affirm for Allah the Most High. So we'll leave what follows till next time, inshallah. Alhamdulillah. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Any points of clarification? Just making a point here that in the with regard to the line approach, it is an addition in that version the Buddha's got there. We got that line approach. في زخرف القول تزيين لباطل والحق قد يعتريه سوء تعبير. Just something that clarifies the meaning, that, as we said, the first line, adorning speech, falsely adorning some speech, can make that which is false seem beautiful. And the second line, and the truth, that addition, and the truth may be spoiled by being badly expressed. I mean, the first line of the poetry is about false speech, that somebody can bring false speech, and because he's got a nice way of speaking, a nice way of making it sound good, then it can fool a lot of people into thinking it's truth. Well, he said it well, look how well he spoke, look at the words that he used, I've never heard something expressed that way before, it must be true what he's saying. No, what he's saying is false and futile. And in the second line of the poetry, obviously, it may be a word of truth that someone's saying, but he just can't express it very well. No. جزاك الله خيرا وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وبارك الله فيك.